This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the show where we bring you the stories behind the stories that matter in your life. We'll tell you something maybe you didn't know, hear from the experts, the authors, the others, and hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. But in every case, we call it As We See It. On today's show, are we experiencing a selfie epidemic? Plus, freedom of information on the internet may be about dead. And today, we're going to make you feel better about revealing your belief in UFOs. You were waiting for that, I know. Let's meet the friends. Jumping right into things, it's Jennifer Bjorklund.
Hey, Phil. Amazon and Walmart, what do they have in common? And no, it's not that you can shop in your pajamas.
Okay. Jay Campidonia has the rest of the week off, and doing some heavy lifting is Chris Martin.
Are new federal regulations on e-cigarettes a little too late and a little too little?
A little too little.
A little too late.
Sounds like a song coming out of you here. We'll have that coming up. But let's get started with you, Jen. Now, let me guess. Either Amazon is getting greeters or Walmart is getting drones. Which one?
Okay. Wrong and wrong.
Oh.
No, but they are actually taking aim at grocery stores and discounters like Walmart with a grocery service that lets, if you're a Prime Loyalty Club member, lets you fill up a 45-pound box with groceries and get it shipped for a flat rate of $5.99. It's called Prime Pantry. And it's pretty cool. You get, you get to order your staples and they deliver it. It shows you, if you're shopping on there, it shows you how much space each item is taking up in the grocery box and how much room is left. And then they ship them out to you 1 to 4 business days later. Now, this might sound familiar because the company's been testing Prime Fresh, which is like really groceries, like all the groceries, you know, the fresh stuff too, in several cities. And I think one of the cities is Orange County, by the way.
That's a big city. Orange County.
It's a big city county.
All right. But this sounds expensive, the delivery and all of that. Are the charges built into the price of the groceries, or do you pay over and above? Do you know?
Yeah, no, it's $4.95 flat shipping. I'm sorry, it's $5.99 flat shipping, but you have to be a Prime member. So this is Amazon's way of getting a lot more people in this Amazon Prime membership, which went up to $99, by the way.
You know what? I think I may be a Prime member, and I bet a lot of people did this. They mm-hmm. signed up for the trial period.
Right, and then you forget.
So I got to look at my bank statement and see if there's a $99 ding on there somewhere.
Right, but you know what? You get the free 2-day shipping, and you also get to stream Amazon Video, which is putting like Netflix and Apple and all those other video on demand people,
Well, that's all good stuff. You know what? You made me think of something when you started talking about Amazon. I have this little tidbit, a random tidbit that I thought I would just squeeze in here. People upload 72 hours of new video to YouTube every single minute. I can believe that. But we also share 2.5 million things on Facebook. And here's the connection. We buy $83,000 worth of stuff from Amazon every single minute.
Wow. And so, now it looks like it's going to be a lot more if you got that Amazon Prime.
Those guys over at Amazon, that business model may be proved out here one of these days.
I think so.
All right. Now, Jen, we know we have an obesity problem in this country, but this story you have today is surprising to me.
Yeah, this one made me kind of chuckle, too, because I hadn't thought about this. You know how airline seats are getting wider because of, the widening American rear end?
Yeah.
Well, wranglers in the Wild West who have for decades cashed in on, that irresistible allure of getting on a horse and setting out on the open trail. They've had to add bigger horses.
Really? And so,
yeah.
Like bigger horse breeds, like going with Arabians or something like that?
Well, Arabians would be the more delicate breed compared to what they're adding. They're adding draft horses. These are called the diesels of the horse world. In ever greater numbers to make sure they don't lose out on the income for potential customers of any size who come out to get closer to the West of yesteryear. Now, they started doing this in the 1990s, but a lot of these dude ranch folks are saying the pace has really picked up in recent years, which is really not good news. Over the last 20 years, obesity has increased in more than a third of adults and about 17% of kids. age 2 to 19. That's from federal statistics. So this is surprising to some, but you know NAFA? Have you heard of NAFA?
No, what is NAFA?
It's the National Association to Advance Fat Acceptance. Not dieting, but fat acceptance.
Okay.
Now, one of their spokespeople, Peggy Howell, whom I have actually interviewed, I interviewed her at an airport one time, delightful lady, really super nice. She says, you know, this is a great thing. This is a business model. More people need to become size savvy. And her quote is, people of larger body size enjoy athletic activities just as much as people with what's considered normal body size. So there you go.
Bigger horses, do they also have bigger saddles, or do you just throw your sleeping bag over the horse and you're good to go?
I think they have bigger saddles, too.
All right.
But yeah, they have bigger horses, bigger people.
I didn't mean to make a funny. I was just trying to be practical.
Sometimes
practicality, you lose your sensibility.
Well, you know, when you write English, it's almost like having a sleeping bag.
Look at
but
you.
But I think since this is the West.
I was going to ask you what a draft horse is, and you're talking about writing English. I don't even know what that is. You don't own a riding crop, do you?
No, I don't. But I have ridden a horse before, and I have ridden English, which is a little more difficult than when you ride with a saddle with a little horn on it and all that stuff.
Yeah, I think a handful of people have written English.
Yeah, that's not how you say it when you ride English, though.
All right, I got you. So, Candlestick Park, Jen, in San Francisco, it's getting a nice send-off before the wrecking ball arrives.
Yeah, you know, Candlestick, that fabled, lovely, freezing cold, windy place to see baseball and football in San Francisco for half a century. You ever been to a game there?
I've watched games, and I've watched people toss a baseball in the air, and they hit a home run without ever swinging a bat.
Right? It's crazy. The wind there is nuts. But Paul McCartney has announced an August 14th date at the former home of the Niners. Tickets to Paul McCartney's Farewell to Candlestick, the final concert. They're going on sale at 10 a.m. on May 5th. Put it in your calendar now, because what a great ticket to have. You know, you'll freeze, but it'll be great.
I think along with the ticket, they ought to give you a chunk of the concrete from the building, don't you think?
That would be a great little benefit.
Yeah. You know what? I remember the story, and I forget the gentleman's name. Maybe you remember it. The guy who bought the property.
It was Giants owner Horace Stoneham. I probably pronounced Stoneham, but
okay.
Stoneham is how it's spelled.
If I recall the story correctly, he was brought out to the property by the real estate agent, and he was brought out in the morning, and he looked at it, and it was beautiful right there on the water, on the point, just a spectacular location. And he said, I'll take it. By afternoon, on another day, when he came over while the contractors were starting to build the thing, and they were complaining about the weather, because on schedule, every day over there at the point at Candlestick, here comes the fog and the wind,
and
it's
the cold. Right. Yeah, it is a great story. And he'd been visiting the site for years, as early as 1957. But you're right, he was a morning person. He had no idea. But realistically, at the time it was built, in the 50s, that was really one of the only pieces of land that was available in the city that was suitable, that had, you know, the parking and all that stuff.
All right. Hey, Chris, you talked about e-cigarettes and regulation. We know that a lot of cities across the country are trying to figure out what to do locally with the vape clubs and e-cigarette shops and who should buy it and the flavoring and all this sort of thing. But the FDA now is starting to come down. But are they coming down hard enough from the critics' point of view?
A lot of critics would say no. So the FDA has proposed a rule today, and the rule is to ban the sale of e-cigarettes to minors. And that's pretty much all the restrictions that they have right now.
Everything else is okay.
Well, let me put it a little bit differently. There's actually these rules that go with it. No free samples, so they're not allowed to give free samples of the e-cigarettes so people can check it out. Young people can check it out.
Yeah.
They have to place warning of the dangers of nicotine on the product. And they have to register with the FDA and list the ingredients that it has, including the nicotine. So a lot of the critics are saying, hey, this is not nearly harsh enough, especially because they can still sell flavored products, the apple flavors and all these other flavors that attracts youngsters. And healthcare advocates aren't pleased about it. But here's some of the other things I found interesting. You know, e-cigarettes has turned into a $2 billion a year industry already.
Already
$2 billion a year. Seems like we weren't even seeing them a couple of years ago.
Oh, and now they're everywhere.
They are everywhere, and they're expected to outsell the cigarette industry within the next decade, which makes $85 billion a year. They're projecting this product to be a $40 billion a year industry.
So the FDA is looking at that and saying, okay, let's let this develop a little bit. Could be good for the economy.
Well, it might be better than smoking cigarettes. You know, the thing is that they're not getting any evidence back that says that this is bad for your health. That's what advocates want to see.
Yeah. You know what's bad for the NYPD's health, Jennifer?
Mm-hmm.
Twitter.
Oh.
Epic fail this week, right?
I was on Twitter all day on Wednesday looking at these images and comments that were coming up. The very innocent My NYPD campaign that came up at where, you know, very innocently, innocuously, the cops asked people to post pictures of themselves interacting with New York police.
Warm and fuzzy photos.
With the hashtag, right? Instead, they get all these, you know, hundreds of photos of police violence, of, you know, police dogs attacking people and people on the ground. Well, this has now become a coast-to-coast phenomenon.
Yeah, it's bad.
There are copycats. You can find My LAPD hashtag. You'll see images from long ago, you know, the May Day melee from years ago. Every misstep the LAPD has taken is documented now on
Twitter. And that's what happened again to the NYPD as well. People were showing photos of brutality that were available online from news events.
Right, 110,000 mostly mean-spirited tweets. Ooh. My favorite part, though, is Bill Bratton. Mm-hmm. You know, our former LAPD police chief and current NYPD commissioner says, in the spirit of no such thing as bad ink, we really broke the numbers, and he kind of welcomes the attention.
and all in the name of getting selfies.
Right. And in my favorite line, oftentimes police activities are lawful, but look awful.
All right. So here we go. You take a lot of selfies. Do
uh-huh.
you? Do you? Oh, well.
Oh, yeah.
Why do you think you do it? I mean, look deep into your mind and soul. What is it you are fulfilling in yourself when you post these photos for the whole world to see? We're going to learn something about ourselves with a PhD right here. Next, and As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. So glad you tuned in to KFWB News Talk 980. This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Jen's here. Jay has the day off. Chris is here as well. And this is the place, in case you didn't know, where we bring you the stories behind the stories that you care about. And we know that you're taking selfies. How do we know that? We know that because we see all your photos on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Are you one of those selfie girls on Instagram? What, do you have a 500,000 followers? It's incredible. Are we in the middle of a selfie epidemic? Joining us live is psychologist and the author of the book, Loving Yourself, The Mastery of Being Your Own Person, Dr. Sherry Campbell. Dr. Campbell, or should we call you Dr. Sherry? That's how people call you, don't they?
Yeah, they call me Dr. Sherry.
I like that better. So let me ask you, Dr. Sherry, when we take selfies, aren't we just recording our personal history?
Yes, it's like photojournalism. We are just putting it out there that this is where we are. You know, Facebook allows us to even post locations, and then we post a selfie, and yeah, we're just putting our lives out there completely.
Yeah, well, so I think at best, people think, all right, maybe this is a little self-indulgent, but I'm not doing anything wrong. Is there a difference between taking a photo and keeping it for your family versus taking it and posting it to social media?
Yes, I think that if you're just taking it for your family, you're coming from a different place. You're just wanting, you know, to share something about your life. And I think most of the time when it's done on Instagram or Facebook or in your car, it's just done for attention.
But is it a bad thing, really, if we're swept up into this epidemic of self-absorption?
It can be for some, and it's also just sort of the norm. But yeah, I mean, there's certainly some narcissism if you're a constant selfie. I mean, there's people who take selfies now and again, like myself, and then there's people who are taking selfies every 3 minutes and Snapchatting and Instagramming. And at that point, I think you're self-obsessed.
All right. So talk about that self-obsession thing then. I mean, is this something that are most of us wired to one degree or another to fall into that category? Or do you have to be a certain personality type to really be in there?
I think you have to be a certain personality type. I don't think that we're all wired for that at all. But I do think social media gives those personality types the stage to be as selfied out as they possibly can be.
You know, I know that there are certain people, and I have them on my Instagram feed too, that take the same exact picture over and over and over of, you know, the same selfie, and you can't even see the background. Is there a difference between that kind of selfie and the one where it's like, hey, look at me, I'm at the Great Wall, or hey, look at me, I'm in France, or, you know, I mean, is that two totally different personality types?
Two totally different personality types. I've got one friend that takes the same selfie with the same, like, facial expression every time.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, she must think she looks super hot, you know what I mean? And so she's posting that all the time, but I think she's more obsessed with her selfie than anyone that's looking at it. But if you're out traveling and you're at the Great Wall of China, you're like, aha, look, here I am. I think that's photojournalism. I mean, you're just sharing an experience rather than just yourself.
Right, because anyone can have a picture of the Great Wall, but you only have one picture of yourself in front of the Great Wall, and sometimes you have to take a selfie, right?
I'm hearing you on that one. Yeah.
Okay, good.
You want to go, hey, here I am. I'm somewhere special. But that's about a place as much as it is about yourself. But if it's a selfie and there's no background and all you have on is a different outfit every day,
right,
then I think you have a problem with needing to see yourself all the time.
Dr. Sherry, Chris is over here. He's thumbing through somebody's Instagram account. It looks like he's rather involved, Chris.
Yeah. Well, what I've noticed, Dr. Sherry, when I go through Facebook and Instagram, it seems like the people that get the largest amount of likes and responses and comments are the ones that post selfies. So are we, by liking it and commenting on it, sort of instigating the whole selfie phenomenon?
Oh, completely. It's supply and demand. You know, they're looking for supply. And so they go, they take a selfie, and then they get all these likes, and it feeds the ego.
By supply, you mean attention, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're getting a ton of attention. That's like supply. Sometimes, you know, the more narcissistic you are, it's actually clinically called narcissistic supply. You're always looking for it.
Yeah, but the folks who are the most narcissistic, are they also some of the people that have the most fragile self-esteems?
They absolutely all have the fragile self-esteem. See, narcissists can't just feel good on their own. They've got to always have attention. And so social media and selfies have become a whole other modicum of control that they can have to get more attention.
Yeah, some of those selfie babes, as we like to call them, I think they don't mind calling them. That's a whole category in Instagram. I think there are a lot of people who are looking at their Instagram pages, their accounts, and they could give that attention from arm's length or closer, and they don't have to necessarily go through the process of potentially being rejected by somebody who's way out of their league. So what does it say about the people who enjoy looking at the selfies?
I think that they have to. It's like, you know, the story of Narcissus is he saw his reflection in the mirror and he fell in the lake and drowned. I mean, if you have a selfie, you're constantly looking in the mirror, and you don't even have to go out with social media. You can't get rejected. You're only getting feedback unless someone says, wow, you look like crap in your selfie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and they may or may not agree. They might want to argue with you. So what do you recommend? Stop taking selfies and start taking pictures of other people?
I would say, as far as a narcissist, they probably will never stop taking their selfies, but I think take selfies if you're sharing something about yourself somewhere, like you want to go to an event and look, here I am, I'm with my boyfriend at this place, and you share that with your friends and family. But if you're constantly taking selfies, then, you know, there's kind of, narcissists are not real adept to change, so they're not going to change. But if I were someone who had a friend like that, I wouldn't be going and giving them supply. I wouldn't like their pictures.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, I just figure that people want to know what I'm up to or what or who I'm standing next to at any given moment. So that's why. Oh, wait. I didn't say that out loud, did I?
You kind of did.
Oh, I kind of did? Okay.
On the radio.
Well, Dr. Sherry Campbell, thanks for spending some time and giving us your thoughts on the selfie epidemic. Again, her book is Loving Yourself, The Mastery of Being Your Own Person. Dr. Sherry Campbell, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Well, how about that? Are you taking a selfie right now as we're speaking?
Hang on. Just focusing.
I think selfie users everywhere are feeling bad about themselves right now.
Yeah. Wow. You know what? Do you remember the Commodore VIC-20? How about the Amiga? You remember those? Are you old enough to remember one of those, Jen?
I'm old enough to remember those. I never had one, though. Those computers were for rich people in the 80s.
Like who?
Like Andy Warhol.
He had one of those?
He had one of those. And in fact, this is such a cool story, Phil. Andy Warhol's museum has recovered a series of artworks created by Andy Warhol in the mid-1980s on a Commodore Amiga home computer. They got the floppy disks, they dug them up, they found them. All of this because an artist was looking online and saw a YouTube clip of Warhol using an Amiga way back in 85 as a promotional thing for Apple.
Wow.
So now they've unearthed these pictures, and they're on a new exhibition called the Invisible Photograph Series at the Carnegie Museum of Art. Very cool. Quirky self-portrait digital art that has never before been seen by Andy Warhol.
Fantastic. Jen, hey, the principle that all internet content should be treated equally as it flows through cables and pipes to consumers, like maybe pictures from Warhol, looks all but dead. Our tech guy joins us live to talk about that and more next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends here on KFWB News Talk 980. This is where you get the stories behind the stories that you care about. It's As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends right here on KFWB News Talk 980. Each week at this time, we talk about the latest technology, gadgets, and the news from the world of tech that affect you. Joining us live is our tech guy, Jeremy Antecuni. Jeremy.
Hey, guys. How are ya?
Good, 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 good. Great to talk to you as always. Now, the first story on your list affects everybody who uses the internet. And the problem is, and correct me if I'm wrong, most people probably have been sleeping through the developments, and now that it's about to get locked in, it's almost too late to weigh in. What's happening with net neutrality?
Well, this is something that we've kind of seen starting to evolve as we've seen this past year go on. There was an overturned decision earlier in the year that essentially meant that the net neutrality open internet rules that were out there, which prevent internet service providers from giving priority to certain kinds of internet traffic or giving preference to their products and essentially making the internet, you know, a pay-to-play game. Once that was overturned, you know, we started to see some kind of scary stuff happening. Netflix is now paying to have their content delivered to subscribers in a faster way. And the FCC is now proposing these new rules, which is essentially a pay-to-play game. It's allowing providers to have to, you know, pay internet providers to then be able to deliver their content and give it preference over other content that's out there.
So ultimately, what does this mean for the consumer?
Well, the problem is that those costs, you know, the Netflix and the other providers out there, they're not going to, you know, just take that cost and cover it for you. Those are going to eventually get passed down to the consumer. And I think the other part of it that scares me the most is that this probably has the potential to really stifle innovation, because established companies, larger companies that have the funds to pay to have their traffic or their, you know, services prioritized, you know, that can essentially lock out innovative startups that, you know, may have, you know, a better mousetrap, but may not be able to pay to have their content delivered to be able to compete with the other players out there that have the funds.
A good example of that from bygone eras is when Ma Bell controlled all of the telephone business, that had the monopoly for the longest period of time, and had no reason to innovate with the technology. So we had rotary dial telephones, and then for a while, hey, it was big news, we had touch tone phones, slimline phones, whatever. But then when the startup companies, when they broke up Ma Bell and all the startup companies came around, all of a sudden the technology soared to the moon and we had all sorts of new things.
Right. I think I saw one of those in a museum once. It had a caption of the long distance vocal transmission apparatus. I haven't seen one of those in a while.
Right. A corded landline.
Oh, that's what it is. Right.
Who has those anymore? Okay. So this net neutrality thing, is it too late? Is the cat out of the bag?
Well, with Netflix agreeing to pay Comcast, we heard that come out a month or so ago. That kind of spelled the end of it for me. And now we're seeing that the FCC is coming out with these proposed rules that essentially bolster that. I'm concerned that the net neutrality may be on its way to a slow death.
All right. So to another story here, Apple has a new OS update coming, but they want some input on it. From whom?
Well, you and me, anybody that for that matter. They, Apple is notorious for being very, secretive and closed-lipped about their new product launches and so forth. But I think we're starting to see more of Tim Cook coming through, their CEO who replaced Steve Jobs. And this is something called the beta seed program. So when a company is putting out new software, there's oftentimes a beta period where their partners or their developers are using the software as a pre-release version and giving feedback and helping improve the product. And typically, this has been something that you had to become a Mac developer to be able to access. It cost about $100 a year. But now they're saying that anybody is going to be able to sign up for the beta program and be able to download the pre-release version of their software and give feedback on it. And it's actually going to be free. So all you have to have is an Apple ID and go to their website to actually sign up.
All right. But you don't have to worry about it being buggy and destroying your rig.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far. No, you absolutely have to worry about it. I mean, it is pre-released software, so they will recommend that you do not install this on your day-to-day machine, although I always do. And it's certainly, it's not ready for prime time, so there are certainly going to be caveats with it.
All right, Jeremy Antoconi with Tesla. You know who they are. They make really cool, expensive, revolutionary electric cars. And they like to sell them to consumers in a revolutionary way. What do the feds think about it?
Well, they've actually been having some issues in certain states that have laws that prevent manufacturers from selling their cars directly to consumers. And up until this point, the Fed really hasn't had a whole lot to say about it, but the FTC has actually just put out a blog post that says that this is bad policy. The laws that prevent manufacturers from selling directly to consumers is bad policy. So I think that this, in a rare move, I'm agreeing with the FTC on this, and I think that this definitely is something that should be allowed.
All right, so this works in favor of Tesla with Elon Musk. He's the guy behind all of this. This is what he wants to do, and you should be able to just go to the Tesla website and design your car, and they'll deliver it to your driveway. Is that how he's selling them now?
Well, you can, of course, anybody can go onto their website and then order the car directly on the website. But I think this really relates more to their showrooms. So in certain states, they were able to have a showroom. They were able to show the car, demonstrate the features and all of that. But you couldn't actually buy one in the showroom. So this, I would assume, would allow consumers to be able to buy the car directly without having to then go home, get on the internet, and do it themselves.
But the difference is you can order a Chevy or a Ford or a Toyota or whatever it is online, but ultimately you have to go to a dealership to take delivery.
Absolutely. And so the main folks that are saying that Tesla should not be allowed to sell their cars directly is, of course, those dealers that that is their bread and butter. And of course, Tesla's position on it is that why would we go through existing car dealer networks to sell our cars? They're not going to be incented to sell our cars, which essentially have significantly less service requirements. There's and obviously that's a huge amount of money for car dealerships is in the service of them. So I definitely understand where Tesla's coming from, and I think that you should be able to buy the cars directly from Tesla.
I think Tesla should just give me one.
I wouldn't turn one down.
No, me neither. I was going to think maybe you had one already, but no.
I don't. Although I think that every single Tesla ever made has been delivered to like a 10 square mile section of the peninsula up in Northern California. I can't go a mile without seeing two or three of them.
Wow, that is something. But I see them down here, too. So they're doing all right in terms of their sales. And one of these days, I think if they ever get some competition, there are going to be a lot of great electric cars out there.
Well, absolutely.
Jeremy Antoconi, always great to talk to you. We will check back in with you unless something breaks in the world of tech next week at this same time.
Sounds good. See you guys then.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. See ya.
Okay. Admit it. You either believe they exist or you want to believe they exist. Coming up next, the modern science that our guest says reveals the technology of UFOs. Right here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit PortsacallDining.com or call 310-833-3553. It's As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends here on KFWB News Talk 980. Thanks for tuning in so you get the stories behind the stories. Have you seen something in the sky you just can't explain? So ultimately you conclude, must have been a UFO. Or maybe you're sure you've seen a UFO. Maybe you've been abducted. I don't know. Anyway, let's see if we can arrive at some consensus about whether UFOs are indeed out there with former aerospace engineer, author of the book Solving the UFO Enigma, How Modern Physics is Revealing the Technology of UFOs. Bob, is it Schroeder or Schrader? How do you say it?
Phil, it's Schroeder.
All right, Bob Schroeder. Now, Bob, people may hesitate to talk publicly about their UFO sightings in fear that they may be ridiculed at work or by family or friends, but you say some pretty famous people have spoken publicly about sightings, right?
Yes, they absolutely have, including police officers, and there's actually quite a few people there are some scientists who have been willing to come out and speak about it publicly. I'm pretty sure many people have heard of Dr. J. Allen Hynek. He was an astronomer up at Northwestern University. And Phil, he had been a skeptic about UFOs. He was the advisor to the U.S. Air Force Project Blue Book. But after examining thousands of UFO reports that came in from pilots and other military personnel, he finally changed his mind and came to the conclusion that there was a needle in the haystack and we should be paying attention to it.
Interesting. And didn't we have a couple of astronauts?
Yes, we sure did. Gordon Cooper, the astronaut, when he was flying fighter jets over in Germany, he and a number of his colleagues spotted UFOs over American bases throughout Europe, and it's unfortunate that the UFO topic has become kind of the butt of jokes and ridicule over the years.
Yeah, I was wondering about that because when somebody of legitimate stature in the scientific community, space or otherwise, comes out with a public story about a UFO sighting, what happens to those disclosures? Are they just swept under the rug? Is the person ridiculed? Are they kind of blacklisted in terms of people going to them for advice in the future?
Well, you know what, Phil? What actually happened, this is just real quick, because I'd love to talk about the technology of UFOs, too.
Sure, we'll get to that.
Okay. Way back in the 1950s, there was a big concern by the U.S. military that fabricated UFO reports planted in our country by a potential enemy could clog the communications lines in the country. And so they made a decision to kind of downplay UFO reports, and that has kind of been government policy since that time. I don't believe there's any conspiracy or anything like that. Unfortunately, it was just a pragmatic, practical type situation where they were kind of concerned that UFO reports would, weaken our ability to respond to a potential threat from a foreign country.
Gotcha.
And I think that's it. That's all there was to it.
Bob Schroeder, you write about UFO technology. If the closest extraterrestrial civilization is beyond our solar system, then some kind of super fast, if not dimensional, travel technique is required just to get here, right?
Yes, exactly. Yep. And Phil, I think what's going on is something like this. And I know we don't have too much time, so I'll go through it really quick. But I think if people have been following what's been going on in physics in the last, say, 7 or 8 years, they've been discussing the possibility now of extra dimensions because it looks like it used to be thought we lived in a four-dimensional universe, 3 of space and 1 of time. But now it looks like we may live in an 11-dimensional universe, as crazy as it sounds. Most of those dimensions are curled up and not really of any significance at every point in space-time. But it looks like there are 5 larger dimensions, and 4 we're familiar with, you know, the 3 of space and 1 of time.
Now, is there consensus on this?
Yes, there is. And the theory that's being... that they're talking about is something called M theory, which some people call the mother of all theories. In a nutshell, it looks like there may be 1 extra large dimension. So we may actually live in a 5-dimensional universe. But they think we live on a membrane, a 4-dimensional space-time membrane, 4 large dimensions. And it appears to be floating in a larger 5-dimensional space-time.
Yeah, this is the type of thing that most people, I think, would have difficulty wrapping their heads around. But basically what you're saying is that there's a dimension, there's a wall that we can't see that's right next to us, and there's all kinds of other activity going on there, and the extraterrestrials, the UFOs, those who pilot them, are able to travel through this invisible wall and enter into our space in the 5 or more dimensions.
Yep, Phil, exactly. And I think that's precisely what they're doing. There was an excellent case by a sighting by Captain Charles Dubok, D-U-B-O-C, with Air France back in, I think it was 1984. And he and his crew observed a gigantic 1,000-foot in diameter red metallic disc-shaped UFO and near Paris. And as they watched this thing, it became partially transparent and then totally disappeared. And I think that was an example of a UFO going into this 5-dimensional bulk.
Very, very interesting. And it's interesting to me that so often these craft are saucer-like. Jennifer, you have a question, though, because it ties in fact, what we talked about in our previous interview, doesn't it?
Right. And this is, I'm playing the part of Jay Campadonia today because this is a question he would ask, I think. Okay. I get that there are dimensions and things that we don't understand beyond our ability on this planet. I believe that. But if they really exist and if people have been abducted, these days everyone has a camera. There's a camera on every corner. Why don't we have any better pictures?
Okay, that's a fair question.
Right?
Yep, it is, Jennifer. Actually, there are some very good pictures out there. And in fact, I want to point out something. Many fighter pilots have taken gun camera footage of UFOs. And the problem is, though, that because the government has been kind of downplaying the existence of these craft, and it's not a conspiracy, it's just that They don't believe that they've been doing any harm to us, and they do suspect, I think, like at the higher levels of government, they suspect that they really are extraterrestrial, but they don't, since they haven't really interacted or done anything with us or any harm, they decided not to pay attention to them. Yeah.
Fascinating stuff, Bob Schroeder. I wish we had more time to talk. We really don't, but maybe we'll pick up with you on another day. But his book is called Solving the UFO Enigma, How Modern Physics is Revealing the Technology of UFOs. And we all have our UFO stories. We've all seen them, right? Have we all seen UFOs?
Every time I see a bird fly by, it's a UFO because I'm not an ornithologist. I don't know what kind of bird that is.
Right.
I mean, I don't believe I've ever seen an extraterrestrial, though.
Right. Okay. But you've seen your you've seen the altar when you got married, right? I mean, so many people have gotten married. It's still a very standard thing in our society to get married. There's a new study out. You might be interested in this, Jen, and anybody else who's a newlywed. Because science, more science here, they figured out that the honeymoon period ends in a marriage exactly 2.5 years after the day you get married.
Wow, I got a year and a half left.
That is when the passion starts cooling down for most people, and most people are still happy and settled in. But 14% of men, 10% of women say that that 30-month mark is when they got extremely unhappy in their marriages.
Wow, unhappy.
You don't want to be unhappy.
That's only 14% and 10%, right?
Yeah, that's not bad.
No, not bad at all.
You can buck the trends, but here's
in the 98th percentile.
here's another one. Just a random fact for Thursday. 80% of people with herpes don't know they have it.
Oh, dear.
How about that for an uplifting note to leave you on today? On the program.
Glad I'm married.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We like your feedback. If you want to send us an email, send it to feedback@philhewlettandfriends. We're on Twitter @AsWeSeeItShow and Facebook at facebook.com/philhewlettandfriends. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark. Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monzen. For Jennifer Bjorklund, the vacationing Jay Campidonia, Chris Martin, and all the extraterrestrials out there, I'm Phil Hewlett on tomorrow's program, How to Be Gluten-Free in 24 Hours. That and more when we call it As We See It.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and not back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.